Sword of the Spirit podcast. This is Ben the Baptist here. And if my voice sounds a little deeper than usual or a little bit more hoarse, it's because I'm under the weather, unfortunately. For some reason, I'm sick. I think I got it from Alicia, my wife. But regardless of that, folks, I'm still going on the air, and I still plan on hosting this show, even though I probably sound like death. So you'll have to bear with me here as I host the podcast with a hoarse voice, sounding sick. I'm getting better every day, though. I'm sure the haters think I'm under the judgment of God or something like that. But I am getting better every day. And yesterday, I wouldn't have been able to do this at all. I could, you know, barely even speak yesterday. I was scheduled to preach, but I couldn't do it. So I'm here, and I'm on the air now. So thank you all very much for tuning in. It's the second episode of the Sword of the Spirit podcast. Like I said, a little under the weather, so I might not be able to be as loud as I usually am. I apologize about that. But tonight, for the first half hour, I'll be talking about the going back to the Greek documentary. First of all, to start things off, I want to give you guys my review on that film. It's caused a little bit of an uproar in the sense, uproar is probably a little bit of a strong word, but some people don't like that Dane Johansen, the Reformed Baptist pastor, was involved with that film. I'll give you guys my thoughts on that and talk about that situation here. And also, I'm also going to talk about the importance of fulfilling the Great Commission in relation to this documentary, which I think, when you look at one of the main purposes of the film, it wasn't just to debunk that modern Greek speakers can understand the Textus Receptus, but Pastor Anderson went to Cyprus and got some souls saved, folks. And you know what? That is more important than anything. And so I'm going to talk about the importance of fulfilling the Great Commission. Also, in the first half hour, I'm going to reveal my new website. That's right. Ben the Baptist has a website. I'll give you guys the URL and also give you a quick tour of the website coming up. And then, of course, at 9:30 Eastern, if you're just joining me now, 9:30 Eastern time, I'm going to give Pastor Roger Jimenez a call, and I'll be asking him about the Red Hot Preaching Conference, and we'll get his reaction to the preaching, as well as his thoughts on the Being Baptist documentary, which premiered today. I haven't had a chance to see it yet. Once I do, I'll offer a review on my channel. I look forward to watching that movie. I'll get Pastor Jimenez's thoughts on that, as well as the preaching that went down at the Red Hot Preaching Conference this past weekend. Pastor Jimenez, as always, did a tremendous job hosting that event, and I'm looking forward to getting his thoughts on the 2019 edition of the Red Hot Preaching Conference at 9:30 when I give Pastor Jimenez a call for what should be an interesting and fun interview with the pastor of Verity Baptist Church. I want to say hello to the people in the chat room. We've got Dustin Lone in there. Thank you, Dustin Lone. He says, "You sound good." Well, I appreciate that. I feel like I sound horrible, but regardless, I didn't want to postpone the show, so here I am, even though I'm a little sick. Javier Ramos, hopefully I pronounced that right. Javier, like the Mexicans pronounce it. I'm not even sure if this gentleman is from Mexico, but regardless of that, thank you for watching. Maria YouTube 100, who is a diehard fan of not just Faithful Word Baptist Church, but the whole new IFB movement. So thank you, Maria, for tuning in. Heath Hendricks, PJC 1611 KJV is in there. Guzman 1611 is in there. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in the live chat room. I'm also live on Facebook. Oh, I just played the stream by mistake. Sorry about that. Let me go ahead and shut that off. There we go. I'm also live on Facebook at facebook.com/BenTheBaptistKJV. That's facebook.com/BenTheBaptistKJV. Make sure you go there to like my page, and then you can get updated whenever I post new content. I want to start off by talking about the Going Back to the Greek documentary here. And again, if you just tuned in, Pastor Jimenez will be joining me at 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. I'll be giving him a call And apparently I got Javier Ramos's nationality right. He says he's half Mexican, so that's good. Going Back to the Greek by Pastor Steven Anderson. I really like this film. In fact, I'd call it an excellent film. It debunks the idea that Greek speakers can't understand the Textus Receptus. Bible professors in Bible colleges, the professors at Bible colleges, they basically treat biblical Greek as if it's some mystical language, as if it's Klingon. Well, this documentary disproves their theory that's taught to Bible college students across the country that modern Greek speakers can't understand Greek. That's a load of trash. And Pastor Anderson traveled to Cyprus with Pastor Dane Johansson to debunk this idea. He went soul winning with a couple of other guys, and he did it out of the Textus Receptus. Now, the people were able to understand what he was preaching out of that Bible, which proves that the theory promulgated by Baptist, or I should say by Bible college professors, is false. They understood it no problem, acknowledged that maybe it was a little bit different than their dialect, but still had no issues understanding the gospel. And in fact, 20 plus people got saved. Think about that for a moment, folks. 20 plus people. I don't have the exact number. I don't remember right off the top of my head. I probably should have written that down before going on the air, but I know it was over 20. And folks, you can correct me in the chat room if I'm wrong, but that is awesome. And it proves that this work, even if you might not agree with Pastor Anderson working with a Reformed Baptist pastor, was a good work. And he did something great for the cause of Christ, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, going overseas to Cyprus to preach the gospel. And that's so important. I'm going to talk about the importance of the Great Commission here in a minute. But what I found to be powerful with regard to this film is the testimony of ex-Orthodox Church members who talked about how in the Orthodox Church, the truth is concealed. You don't know what the Bible actually says because preachers hide the truth from you. Priests, they hide the truth from you. Priests don't allow you to study the Bible for yourself in the Orthodox Church and in the Catholic Church. And so people who are stuck in that false religion don't know what the Bible says, but once some truth is unearthed to them, they start asking questions, and that's frowned upon greatly in the Orthodox Church. You're not supposed to ask questions. You're not supposed to question traditional Orthodox Church doctrine. You're not supposed to question what the priests teach you. You're not supposed to question, why is it that they call themselves Father when Jesus said to call no man Father on the earth but God the Father in heaven? You're not supposed to question, why is it that they teach you have to follow a whole bunch of sacraments when the Bible says that salvation is by grace through faith alone? You're not supposed to question why it is that they teach that you should confess your sins to a pedophile priest in a box, whereas the Bible says that you should confess your sins to God himself through the Lord Jesus Christ once you're saved. You're not supposed to question any of those things. And so when people do start to do that, they get in some hot water with the church, and it inevitably leads them down the road to getting saved, seeking out real Bible preaching, and escaping from the Orthodox Church, and escaping from false, damnable heresy and false religion. One of the most powerful aspects of the Going Back to the Greek documentary was listening to the testimonies of ex-Orthodox Church members. And there's one in particular I'm actually going to play for you guys right now. I really liked this testimony, and I don't know the name of this individual. I wish I did, and perhaps someone in the chat can let me know what this guy's name is. But, you know, I found it to be really cool to listen to his story and, you know, him explaining what it's like to be in the Orthodox Church and to question things, what it's like to be in the Orthodox Church and to realize that perhaps you've been lied to. So I'm going to go ahead and play that testimony now for you guys here from the film. Now, obviously, I don't want to spoil the whole film. And if you haven't seen Going Back to the Greek, I would highly recommend it. I'll get into more on the movie after this. First of all, my favorite testimony from Going Back to the Greek by Pastor Anderson. Here it is.
You know, one of the things that I would notice here too is that, you know, the priests, you know, they tend to tell the youth and they tell the people, you know, of their faith that they can't question the Orthodox faith, and they can't question the beliefs that, that have been instilled in them. Why do I have to go to confession? Why do I have to listen to the priest? Why do I have to have, you know, these good works? Or why do I have to get baptized as a baby? And they, it seems like, you know, the priests just tell them blindly that they have to believe in that, and they have to do those things in order to be saved. And when we tell them that none of that is necessary, all you have to do is just believe on Jesus and you shall be saved. And they hear that, and that's like such a profound message for them, because they feel like they've been lied to all this time. And, you know, I just really want to make sure that, you know, when we bring the gospel to them, that they get to hear the truth, because I feel that after so many years, you know, that they just grow up believing that everything that the priest tells them is the truth. And they feel that the standards that the Orthodox religion sets for them is so unattainable that they just give up. And so when they hear that, you know, God's salvation is free, you know, as long as they believe that it's that gift for them to receive, you know, they're just so happy to hear that.
So how did you end up coming out of the Orthodox Church itself?
So there was a lot of things that I saw in the Bible that, you know, just didn't measure up. Like, you know, for example, you know, the Bible tells us that, you know, a bishop has to be the husband to one wife, and he has to be sober and temperament, and he has to be able to rule his own house. But yet the priests can't be married, and, you know, once they've been ordained. And so when I started asking my priest that question, and I said, you know, why is it that the Orthodox teach that you have to be celibate in order to be a bishop? They tell me, you know, you can't question that. You know, that's something that you're not allowed to question. You know, the other thing that, you know, we talk about how, you know, the Bible tells us that you should call no one father but your Father in heaven. And when you ask them, you know, why must I call you Father if the Bible tells us call no one but our Father in heaven Father, they say that's the way it is. You don't question that. So,
and that drove you to leave the Orthodox Church?
Yes, that, you know, especially the fact that they didn't want me to question the faith is what led me to believe that, you know, this is not, you know, a faith that I should believe in, because they don't take the Bible at face value. They're teaching things that are contrary to what the Bible teaches. And then when you start asking questions, they tell you that you're not allowed to have those questions. They tell you that, you know, you have to believe whatever they tell you, and if you don't believe that, then you're just being blasphemous against the Orthodox traditions. So today I met a man from Ethiopia, and he had a very similar story to share, such as the one that I have, my testimony. And, you know, we were talking, and he had mentioned that his father was in the Orthodox Church in Ethiopia. And he went to the priest and started asking him questions about their traditions. You know, why do we have to make the sign of the cross? Why do we have to bow to icons? And the priest told him, you know, you do not get to question any of those things. And so that gentleman decided that this was not the religion for him, because he felt that he was being deceived. And he felt that because the priests were, you know, not allowing him to question the faith in any way whatsoever, and he saw that it was contradicting the Bible, so he decided to pull completely out of the Orthodox faith, and he took his whole family with him. And they all ended up believing. They all ended up becoming evangelicos. So that was, you know, very profound to me to hear that, you know, somebody else would have that same testimony as I had, you know, and why he left the Orthodox faith, similar to why I did.
So yeah, like I was baptized as a baby when I.
All right. So that's the testimony there of Brother Peter. Thank you to Dustin Lone in the chat room, Brother Peter Tremulous. I'm going to mispronounce that badly, but let's just call him Brother Peter, from the Going Back to the Greek documentary. That was one of my favorite parts. Now, other parts of the documentary I really liked is the soul-winning footage, getting to see Pastor Anderson out there winning souls out of the Texas Receptus, and seeing the people in Cyprus, the natives, able to understand what he's saying. Like I said, debunks what the Bible college professors believe. And also what I found to be interesting too is the emphasis Pastor Anderson put on the Great Commission and how important it is to learn Greek, not because you need to, but so that we can reach people, a significant, you know, portion of the population in Cyprus and also obviously in Greece with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, he never said that you have to understand Greek or learn Greek to understand the King James Bible, but what he did say is that understanding Greek could open up an opportunity for you to possibly go out and win souls. And he challenged some of these Bible college students to, instead of just pontificate over this language, to do something with it and win souls. Instead, what they do is they learn the language and then use it to inaccurately go back to the language to teach false doctrine. And there was this bozo who went back to the Hebrew to say that repent means literally. That's what he taught. And of course, if you've been following the drama in the new IFB at the beginning of the year, we know that at last year's Red Hot Preaching Conference, Fanon went back to the Hebrew to teach that whores are actually all reprobate sodomites or something like that, and he was called out for it earlier this year. So people go back, preachers do, to the original language to trap the audience, knowing the audience is not fluent in those languages. And one of the things that one of the points Pastor Anderson made in this documentary is that, hey, if you want to go back to the original language, you ought to be fluent in that language. And, that shouldn't be a very controversial point. And certainly makes a lot of sense. It seems like it's completely logical from my perspective. I enjoyed feeling like I went on a journey with Pastor Anderson and Pastor Johansson. It kind of felt like a lower budget version. It felt like a lower budget version of Beyond Jordan, except on something a little bit different and, of course, in a completely different country. So overall, I definitely would recommend watching Going Back to the Greek by Pastor Anderson. I think it was his best movie that he made himself. Obviously, it's not the best movie that he's made, overall, because he's teamed up with Paul Wittenberger to make excellent films. But as far as the films that he's put out himself, I think this was the best one by far. He got some help from Brother Mejia with the graphics, and so the production values were definitely better than some of the other films he's produced himself. Now, on Dane Johansson, this is the Reformed Baptist pastor, there's been some pushback on him being included in the film. And, there's some there's some good people who disagreed with it, and of course I respect their opinion. But there's also the oneness tards and the trolls and the idiots and the enemies of the new IFB as well, who just sit there like keyboard warriors and troll every video and comment on every video, trying to troll everybody because they have no life, and they sit in mommy's basement all day trolling men of God. Now, my reaction to them, was made clear in the video I uploaded, I think it was yesterday or the day before that, recently, in response to some of the haters out there who are trolling the new IFB because of Pastor Dane Johansson's involvement in this documentary. Now, in my opinion, he's saved, and the reason why is because I don't believe Pastor Anderson would go soul-winning with a false prophet. And if you think about this from a logical perspective, if Pastor Johansson believed in a lordship, a hardcore lordship salvation, or a work salvation, then explain to me why he didn't take issue with Pastor Anderson's gospel presentation throughout the whole trip. That doesn't make any sense. If he didn't believe the gospel, if he did believe it was by works, then that issue would have come up during this trip to Cyprus. But it didn't. And the reason why it didn't is because he preaches the same gospel Pastor Anderson does. Now, there are some old clips, evidently, that seem to indicate otherwise. I don't know very much about Pastor Johansson, but I'm going off of what Pastor Anderson has said. And I'm also going off of common sense that Pastor Anderson wouldn't have teamed up with a false prophet to go soul winning. And again, if Pastor Johansson believed in a different gospel, it's likely that issue would have come up at some point over the course of the trip in Cyprus. They won many souls to Christ. And so even if you disagree with the involvement of Pastor Johansson in this film, I think we can all agree that there was a lot of good that came out of it, that souls were saved and sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Once you're saved, you're always saved. And for some people in Cyprus, their eternal destination has been sealed, and they will go to heaven when they die. And it was all because Pastor Anderson traveled there with this other Reformed Baptist pastor, Johansson, and they went soul winning. Obviously, the primary focus was on the Greek language and proving that they can understand, the natives there, the Greek language. But additionally, they won some souls to Christ. They met some natives. You got to see footage of them fellowshipping. You got to see footage of them fulfilling the Great Commission. And you learned a lot as well. So that's why I'm in full support of the movie. Because at the end of the day, it accomplished something great. It accomplished something great for Christ. And people got saved. And that's what we should care about the most. Rather than clutching our pearls to virtue signal to everyone else about how righteous we are and how intolerant we are of false doctrine. Look, I'm intolerant of false doctrine. There's no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, when you see someone who's reaching out to us, I think it would be prudent and for the best that we try and bring them in. Because if we're going to grow this incredible movement, the only way we can do that is not by shutting the doors on every single person who happens to be a little different than we are. And hopefully Pastor Johansson gets that Calvinist thing right. I would love to see that. Pastor Anderson is not recommending his church. Frankly, I wouldn't either. It's not like he's going to let him preach at Faithful Word anytime soon. But they're friends, and who the pastor of a church across the continental United States is friends with, frankly, doesn't concern me at all. I don't care. I care about the output. I care about what he's doing for Christ. I care about the works that are coming out of Faithful Word Baptist Church, the works that are coming from Pastor Anderson. And this documentary, I think, did a tremendous job of showcasing that. So two thumbs up for me. Obviously, it wasn't perfect. There was one instance, it was towards the beginning, when Pastor Anderson was speaking to the camera, where the audio and the video was a little bit out of sync. So if I could nitpick a few things, that would be one of them. No film is perfect, but overall, I really enjoyed it. Like I said, it was my favorite film Pastor Anderson has produced so far. So the importance of fulfilling the Great Commission, just real quickly, I wanted to talk about this. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 16, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And so that should be, above all else, what we're focused on. And we should put aside petty differences to go out and make sure people get saved. This is what frustrates me the most when it comes to the old IFB. Look, if there are old IFB churches who preach the right gospel, I just want everyone to know, I love those pastors. They are brothers in Christ. And I have a great amount of respect for those pastors. And if I was going to an old IFB church that was right on salvation, but wrong on Israel and wrong on the rapture, I would respect the elder of that church, and I would serve, and I would be a blessing as best as I can to that local church, because at the end of the day, it's about the gospel. It's about getting people saved. There's so much confusion when it comes to what it takes to get to heaven, and this doesn't become more, or I should say, it becomes more apparent when you go out soul winning. I was out this past weekend with my friend, Brother Joe, and Brother Joe was the one speaking. I couldn't speak, literally, because my voice was going away. But Brother Joe was talking, and he knocked on the door of this gentleman who was a pastor, and he asked him what it takes to go to heaven. And this guy got very offended at the question. And he went on to talk about how once you're saved, all your desires change, and you're just going to automatically turn over a new leaf, and you're automatically going to do all the works. And he was basically teaching sinless perfectionism, and he topped it off with the false, damnable heresy that you can lose your salvation. Now, he got into it with Brother Joe. He got very upset with Brother Joe for knocking on his door, because he's a demon, because he's a false prophet, because he's a spiritual predator. And that rotten little maggot is going to end up splitting he's gonna split hell wide open one day. And, you know, I'm telling you, folks, it took every fiber of my being not to jump into that interaction. I was the silent partner. I couldn't even talk anyway. But you say, what's your point? My point is that we've got pastors like that influencing people, not just domestically, but all over the world. And so when I see somebody who's traveling to Cyprus, when I see somebody who's traveling to the Philippines, when I see somebody who's making it one of their top priorities to go out and reach the world with the gospel of Christ, I support that. I stand behind that man of God. And what angers me about the old IFB is that they won't set aside secondary doctrine to team up with us to get some souls saved. There's no reason why the mega marathon, which occurs every year, shouldn't include other churches. And I've seen way too many that aren't necessarily in our movement. I've seen way too many testimonies of people who have posted in the new IFB Facebook groups and things like that, showing screenshots of text messages they've had with pastors in the old IFB and everything like that, and showing that they're unwilling to work with them. They're unwilling to even allow them the church. Now, they'll let sodomites in. That's cool, right? Disgusting reprobates, predators, those are fine. But, you know, God forbid that you listen to Pastor Anderson or you believe in the post-trib, pre-wrath, rapture, which is biblical, by the way. Read Matthew 24. Watch last week's show if you missed it. Talked about end times there. Or that you don't believe in Zionism or all the, you know, and all the rest of it. They're willing to put that above the gospel of Christ. And it's one of the reasons why their churches, many of them, aren't doing so well. Now, I pray that these old IFB pastors would soften their heart and work with us a little more, at least for the gospel's sake. And I think, you know, we have to put that at the top of our priority list and make sure that we're not being petty about other things. And again, that's why I like the documentary so much. Now, I was going to talk to you guys about my website, but I'm going to do that after the interview with Pastor Roger Jimenez because I ran out of time. So Pastor Jimenez will be on in about 2 minutes, so stay tuned for that. But after the interview with him, I will be unveiling my new website, which will feature a blog and some other things as well. So stay tuned, folks, and thank you very much for listening. I really do appreciate it very much. I appreciate the support. You can go to youtube.com/BenTheBaptist to subscribe, and I'll be talking to Pastor Jimenez in moments on the Red Hot Preaching Conference. My favorite sermon from the conference, it seems to change every day, to be honest with you, but as of right now, I think I'm going to go with Pastor Shelley's sermon. I really liked it, and there was a great part in the sermon in which he says, hey, here's my apology to the LGBT community. Go to hell! That was great. Going to church with all thy might. I really liked that. I really liked his sermon because it challenged people that, listen, if you're going to go to church, then you need to go to church and put a little bit of effort into it. Bring a Bible. Dress appropriately. Take it seriously. Don't just look at it or treat it rather as if it's a joke. It's not a joke. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 to go to church. And you know what? If you want to be on fire for the Lord, then you better go to church 3 times a week. I know that's easier said than done, but I think that's the least we can do for Christ after he accomplished what he did for us at Calvary, to go to church and listen to the Bible be preached. And especially if you go to a new IFB church, you should be thanking God every day of your life that you don't go to a church in which you have to sit there and bear through sermons filled with a bunch of false doctrine. You don't have to deal with your pastor talking about how important it is to pray for Israel. Now again, like I said, if you do go to one of those churches, then you should be a blessing if they're right on the gospel and everything like that. But for a lot of people, they wish they can go to a new IFB church. And so if you go to one, don't take it for granted. Well, it's that time now to go ahead and give Pastor Jimenez a call. You'll have to bear with me here as I call him and get him on the line here. Pastor Roger Jimenez will be joining me. Let's see if this works. I'm dialing the number now. The Red Hot Preaching Conference was fire, that's for sure. And I definitely enjoyed a lot of the preaching. I enjoyed Pastor Anderson's sermon as well. I liked how he repudiated some of those folks there who didn't agree with the documentary for the wrong reasons, called them out unjustly. Pastor Jimenez is on the line now. Pastor Jimenez, thank you so much, sir. This is Ben the Baptist on with you here for our scheduled interview.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I appreciate your time, sir. Thank you so much for coming on here just to pop in real quick and give us your reaction to the Red Hot Preaching Conference. If my voice sounds hoarse or not as it usually does, I'm a little under the weather, so you'll have to bear with me there, but definitely appreciate your time, Pastor Jimenez. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure. And if my voice sounds the same way, I'm actually losing my voice. It's just, a lot going on and not enough sleep, you know. But we had a great Red Hot Preaching Conference this year, and there's lots to go over. I don't know if there's anything specifically you want me to talk about, but I can talk about all kind of the unique things that happened this year if you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm gonna definitely ask you about some specifics. But the first thing that I'm curious about when it comes to the Red Hot Preaching Conference is, I look at that lineup, and I see a lot of talent, and I'm wondering, what's the process like to whittle it down to the number of preachers that you end up whittling it down to? What's it like to sit there and decide who you're going to feature at the Red Hot Preaching Conference, and how do you make that decision?
Well, a lot goes into that. The process basically takes an entire year of stress of just kind of thinking about who to invite and praying about it. And then not just that, but talking to different preachers and seeing if their schedule will allow them to come. Obviously, there's a lot of great preachers in our type of churches, and we'd love to have them all come out, but there's only a limited amount of time that we have, and also a limited amount of resources, you know, because we like to pay for their airfare to come out to the conference. We like to fly out a family member as well and take care of their accommodations and things like that. So what we try to do is we try to just kind of just not have the exact same lineup every year, and maybe try to interchange a few people here or there. So maybe someone who hasn't came for a couple of years, we might ask them to come back, and maybe someone who's came a couple of years, we might give them a break. And it's really difficult because I don't ever want anybody to think that, maybe we don't invite them or something, that there's something wrong with them or that they did anything wrong. It's not that at all. It's just there's so many great, talented speakers to choose from that sometimes you just kind of have to decide and go with it, you know? Like, for example, this year we added Pastor Jonathan Shelley, just because he's kind of newer, a newer pastor on the scene, obviously a talented preacher, and it's nice to kind of bring in new guys too, you know, and things like that. So it is difficult. Sometimes we just have to make a decision and go with it. Every year we do take a lot of time to think and pray about it, myself and my staff, and try to think about who to invite and how to make that happen.
Well, as far as the preaching this year at the 2019 conference, I have to ask you, Pastor, is there any one message that stuck out to you as your favorite? And obviously, if you can't pick just one, that's fine. But what are your reactions to what was preached? Obviously, thankfully, nobody this year taught that whores are all reprobates, so we didn't get that disaster. But certainly right. Some fire-breathing sermons this year. So what's your reaction to that?
You know, as I sat there and listened to the sermons, what's interesting is that every year there seems to be, we don't have a themed conferences for the Red Hot Preaching. You know, people ask me what's the theme, and I say the theme's Red Hot Preaching, you know. But it seems like every year there's some controversy or something going on that kind of puts us all on a theme. This year, that wasn't the case. You know, this year, the sermons were very unique. So it's hard for me to really say, well, this sermon was my favorite. It's just they're so different. I would almost have to say all of the sermons were my favorite for that category, you know. Pastor Anderson preached about Calvinism. That was a great Calvinism sermon. Pastor Shelley preached about church attendance and getting involved in the local church. But, I mean, he really, you know, preached a fire-breathing sermon about church attendance. You know what I mean? So the millennial reign and the setting up landmarks, and even the, you know, Pastor McMurtry preached about the love of God, which is an interesting theme at the Red Hot Preaching, but he, you know, he brought fire with it too. So I thought all the sermons were great, and I felt like they were just, it was just a perfect mixture of doctrine and hard preaching and things like that.
Yeah, I definitely would echo that sentiment as well. Now, you also had a football tournament go down at this year's conference. I heard that you did, that you watched, but we're not actually playing in the tournament yourself. Now, talk about that tournament and just how much fun it was and who ended up winning.
Yeah, so this year we had the first RHPC Bowl, and it ended up being a huge hit and a success. After Soul Winning, we had a Soul Winners lunch for all of the Soul Winners. We had that at the park, and then after that, we had the RHPC Bowl. I didn't play, and the main reason I didn't play, a couple reasons I didn't play. The main reason was because I had to preach the next day. You know, that was my slot for the Red Hot Preaching Conference, and I didn't want to be all sore or crippled or something because somebody tackled me.
That makes sense.
So that was the main, another reason. But the another reason I didn't play is because our church kind of had the home advantage, so we had a lot of players. So we had way more players than we really needed. So I didn't want to take another slot, especially if I didn't really need to. And I'm not that great at football anyway. So I just sat on the sidelines and I watched. But so the first game. So there was two games going on at the same time. We had Sure Foundation Baptist Church playing Team Baptist, which Team Baptist was just a group of kind of, I think they were calling them freelance players, where they didn't really have like a new IFB church that they came with. They just maybe came from different churches across the country, and they wanted to like play. So we kind of put them all together, and we got jerseys for them, and they were Team Baptist, and they played against the Sure Foundation team, and Sure Foundation beat them. And then at the same time, Verity Baptist Church was playing Steadfast Baptist Church, and that was a great game. They actually tied, so they went into overtime. They tied at 3 touchdowns each, went into overtime, and then Verity Baptist Church won in overtime. But Steadfast was definitely steadfast in that game. They did a great job, and they gave us a run for our money. And then so then the championship game, I guess, was between Sure Foundation and Verity Baptist Church, and Sure Foundation ended up coming, you know, being on top in that game, and they won. So they won the first RHPC Bowl. So I really considered changing my sermon on the next day, you know, to a bottle of the exercise profit little. But I decided not to. But
that would have been great.
maybe preaching about, you know, the first shall be last or something like that. But no, it was a great game. It was great fun. Everybody had a good time, and I felt like it was a great addition to the conference this year.
Yeah, it looked like it was a lot of fun, and definitely, hopefully that continues, and maybe you guys do it again next year, perhaps different sport, whatever the case may be. But for sure, people who go to that conference are going to get a lot of great fellowship. Now, switching gears real quickly here, Pastor, being Baptist, you debuted the film at your conference, but also for the rest of the world today. I have yet to see the movie. Obviously, I plan on watching it myself. But for those who haven't seen it yet, what can you say about this movie that would make it worth their time? Why should people go out of their way to seek this thing out and watch it?
Well, you know, being Baptist, we showed it at the conference. It's already been out since 9 a.m. this morning, and we've gotten some great feedback. I mean, people are telling us they're loving it, and I realize it's difficult. There's a lot of great films out there, but lots of you are saying this is my new favorite movie, you know, or they're giving it some great reviews. So I would encourage you to watch it, not based on just my opinion. Obviously, I thought it was good, but, you know, we made it, so I've got an ulterior motive there. But lots of other people are saying, hey, this is great, this is wonderful. So I would encourage everybody to watch it, and they can find it on our Verity Baptist Church YouTube channel. They just search Verity Baptist Church, and on our YouTube channel, they'll see Being Baptist there. I think it's got about probably a little bit over 2,000 views right now, and it's been out since 9 a.m., so it's not doing terrible. It's doing great, hopefully, you know, it can get just shared a lot and stuff. So I think that people will like it, and I'll tell you the purpose of the documentary. What I was wanting to do is I wanted to have a tool because our churches, our type of churches, what we call the new IFB, we do a really great job at reaching new people. You know, we're bringing in not only people from the old IFB, but we're bringing in people just from false religions that are getting saved and beginning to walk with the Lord and grow in their walk with God. But a lot of them come into this quote-unquote movement, and they're not really sure what it means to be a Baptist or why it's important to be a Baptist. So what I wanted to have was a tool that basically we could give. We could use it, you know, maybe like a new convert that walks into Verity Baptist Church, and we could give them this documentary. And my idea was that they would start watching the documentary as a brand new convert, and by the end, they would walk out being Baptist, you know, being an understanding what a Baptist is and why they are one. So the movie is divided into two parts. The first part goes into the history of Baptist people, the heritage, and we show how we did not come from the Protestant Reformation. We did not come from Catholicism. There's always been a line of true believers that have not been part of, you know, that mother whore religion. So if you like history, that's a great, you know, you'll like that, if going through the history of that and kind of explain that. And then the second part shifts gears and we talk about the Baptist distinctive and just what kind of makes us uniquely Baptist and what makes us different from other types of Christians out there. And like I said, we've gotten some great responses. People are really liking it. So I would definitely encourage, you know, people, and even if you're already a Baptist and you already say, I'm a Baptist, I know I'm a Baptist, I believe it, you know, it's hard to find good things to watch out there. So, you know, I would just encourage people, if you've got time, order a pizza or get some popcorn and just, you know, have a movie night with something that's edifying and godly and not something you have to worry about, you know, that you're going to be given some false doctrines.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely would recommend everybody go check that out, and I'll be watching it myself. So thanks a lot for giving us a quick synopsis there. And my final question, just going back to the conference real quick here, is I noticed that you had, as you did last year, a men's preaching night. I'm curious, what are some of the rules involved with that? How would someone participate if they want to in the men's preaching night? I would assume that there's a lot of different entries and men who want to get in on that. So do you have to narrow it down at all? Or what's the process like for a guy who wants to get up there and rip some face at your conference at the men's preaching night?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we do is from the beginning of the week, from the very first service on Thursday night, we've got a card that we hand out, and it's in the bulletin. And it's a communication card, and they can sign up to preach at the men's preaching night. They can turn it in, you know, they can drop it into the offering plate as the offering plate goes by, or they can give it to myself or one of the ushers or whatever. But we ask, if you want to preach at the men's preaching night, that you sign up. So you have to write your name, and you have to give us the topic, what it is that you're going to be preaching about. And then we just basically put that all together. As far as weeding people out, we just look at the topics and make sure that no one's going to be preaching something. You know, if someone puts in there, I want to preach on the pros of oneness, you know, or something weird, then we're obviously not going to let them preach. But, you know, we just kind of go through it. And sometimes people put things that maybe we might have a question about, and we'll say, hey, you know, we noticed you want to preach about this, and just kind of get them to give us their thoughts on it or whatever. But usually we don't have any problems with it, but we just like to, you know, get ahead of it if we can, because it becomes an awkward thing if I have to get up there, stop somebody mid-sermon and tell them to sit down or something, you know. So we do have them sign up in advance, and then we give them rules. And the rules that we have, these are just the rules we have at our church, and we just ask people, if they're going to preach, that they wear a shirt and tie, that they use the King James Bible, and that the only reason they would ever use any other version is to show error in it or to show us something wrong with it, and that they stay within, you know, the beliefs of of Baptist people. And we give them 10 minutes, and then we just try to pick as many guys as we can. So, for example, this year I think we had 14 guys sign up, and 7 of them preached. So half of them were chosen and half of them weren't. And we just literally just, Brother Oliver, one of my staff guys, he sits on the front row. He's got a cup with everybody's names on it. He's got a mic, and he just picks a name from the cup, and they go up. And when they're done, then he picks the next name. So it's really just, you know, if the lot falls on them, then they're chosen. So we always have a good time with that. And we do that every Sunday, the Sunday night of the Red Hot Preaching Conference. We always have that men's preaching night. And then afterwards, we have Baskin-Robbins ice cream that we bring in from Baskin-Robbins, these big tubs, and just have a good time of fellowship. So it was a great night.
Yeah, cool off a little after some fire-breathing preaching there. And who knows, maybe one of those men who appeared at the men's preaching night ends up a pastor one day and perhaps preaching during the conference itself. So you never know what could happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was watching some of these young guys, and they were pretty, you know, talented and ripping face. And things. I was thinking, you know, here's the future of our movement. So, yeah, absolutely.
Right. Well, Pastor Jimenez, I promised you 15 minutes, and it's actually been 17. So, I appreciate.
Oh yeah, no, you don't worry about that, and I can take whatever time you'd like. I would like to mention just something interesting about the conference. We had a record-breaking attendance this year. We shattered every single record. The highest attendance for the service was 419, which before that was 365. But the number I really want to mention is that we had, for our soul winning, the highest attendance we'd had before was 222, something around there. And on Saturday for soul winning, we had 354 soul winners out. So it was pretty amazing to be out with that many soul winners on a Saturday morning and just to have that many bodies out there, not just for a conference, but to go out and preach the gospel. You know, I thought that was pretty awesome.
Well, definitely some astronomical numbers this year for sure. You shattered last year's record, as I think more and more people are getting involved in this movement and some of the preaching from the great pastors in it. And real quick before I let you go, with Massa now an annual event and Pastor Shelley also putting together a conference in November, have you put any thought into Red Hot Preaching Conference being a themed conference annually, or would you like to keep it more free form the way it is now for the foreseeable future?
I think I'd like to keep it free-formed. I definitely don't have a problem with themed conferences, and I think there is a place for that. But I think people like coming to Red Hot Preaching Conference and just knowing that they're just going to be able to hear all sorts of, you know, just whatever the Lord lays on the hearts of these men, and they just know that the only thing, you know, the preachers, they ask me, is there anything I can preach about, or is there a theme or things, and I just say, hey, just be red hot. You can't come to Red Hot Preaching Conference and not be red hot. So, and everybody delivered this year, so I was really happy with that.
Pastor Jimenez, thank you again for your time, sir. Is there anything else you want to say to the people listening right now, whether it's about the conference or anything else, before I let you go?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to say that you know, the reason we have the Red Hot Preaching Conference, I actually got this question asked to us. We had a reporter from the L.A. Times.
Uh-oh.
Who came to the Red Hot Preaching Conference this year. She was there at every single service. She even went soul winning. She went soul winning with my wife. She was going to be doing an article about our church and the Red Hot Preaching Conference. And she asked me, she said, what's the point of this? Why do this? And I told her, you know, the Red Hot Preaching Conference, the reason we started it was to promote this style of fundamentalism in Christianity so that people would hear about it, so they would come and be refreshed and get excited about what's going on in these types of churches, not just Verity Baptist Church, but all the churches that are of our stripe, you know. And I would just tell people listening out there to realize that it's not just about this one conference or any one conference or about any one documentary, but it's about a movement of going back to the fundamentals of the Word of God. And if they're just kind of on the sidelines and they're kind of just thinking about getting in, they need to get in, because the world is paying attention. The world is watching. I mean, the fact that they would pay to send a journalist from the LA Times to be a delegate at the Red Hot Preaching Conference, I thought was pretty amazing. You know, and we'll see how that goes and what comes from that. But, you know, we are causing an uproar in this country, and I think we need to continue to do that. So I hope that people will hear this and get involved.
Absolutely. You're making an impact, as are other pastors as well, and from somebody who enjoys the preaching, I definitely appreciate that. So Pastor Jimenez, I'm going to let you go, and I think you deserve to recharge your batteries after what was, I'm sure, a real long week and a long weekend. And I appreciate your time, sir, and hope you enjoy the rest of your week. God bless you.
Okay, you too. Thank you, and I appreciate the work you do. Goodbye.
Thank you. Have a great night. And folks, that was Pastor Roger Jimenez of Verity Baptist Church. Generously gave me a few more minutes. In fact, I had only wanted him on for 15 because I knew he'd be really tired and everything after the conference, but ended up staying for 20. A great man and very hospitable as well. Obviously, very skilled behind the pulpit and can preach effectively. That, folks, I think is an understatement as well. So you can check out his YouTube channel, keywords Verity Baptist Church, and I thought it was interesting to get his thoughts on the fallout from the Red Hot Preaching Conference 2019. Interesting also to hear that the media is getting involved a little bit. The media oftentimes is intrigued by this movement because they've never seen men and women of God who take the Bible seriously and are unashamed about it and are unapologetic about what the Bible says, who hold the Word of God high in the air and actually believe it. Every word, every verse, every chapter, every book. And so, yeah, the media is intrigued by that, which is why every once in a while they'll give our movement some coverage. Verity Baptist Church is no exception to that. And you know what? Even if the media tries to attack Pastor Jimenez or Pastor Boyle a few months ago for doing the Massa conference, or Pastor Anderson, who was just banned, by the way, from Australia, yet another country bans the man of God because he preaches the whole counsel of God. No matter what the media coverage is, Pastor Berzins also earlier this year received some attention. Whether it's good or bad, I think it's a net positive for the pastors involved because it'll lead to people looking up who that pastor is, looking up the church, looking up the doctrine, and potentially getting saved, potentially listening to the preaching. And folks, the Bible tells us that the Word of God has power. And so once they hear the preaching, make no mistake, there's a pretty good chance they're going to stick around, not only get saved, but also get on fire for the Lord and potentially get added to one of these zealous churches who are doing a lot of great work. So it was a pleasure to get a chance to speak to Pastor Jimenez there. And now for the final segment, I wanted to unveil my website. Now, this is a website that I've been working on for some time now, and I've decided to go ahead and reveal it now. It's not completely finished. There are a few aspects of the website that have yet to be completed, and a few, you could say, components that I need to that I need to get going here, that I need to finish up. But once those are done, the website will be 100% good to go. And the reason why I decided to construct this is to give people a place to go to read some blogs and also just to keep up with my work. So I'm going to switch the screen now. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see the website on your screen. It's BenTheBaptistKJV.com. Again, that's BenTheBaptistKJV.com. And for those of you listening to the audio only via the podcast, this is a website I built using WordPress. And at the very top, there's a giant banner that says Ben the Baptist and a scripture from 2 Timothy chapter number 2, which says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And we should adhere to that. Now, I'll scroll down here, and in the middle of the page, you'll have articles written by me. These will be blog posts that I write here. We have one posted on July 18th, Atheism and the Problem of Objective Morality, where basically I explain how anti-logic, the atheist worldview truly is, and that they can't explain where morality came from. They can't explain how it is that human beings inherently know right from wrong, if they're not reprobates at least. Where does our conscience come from? It comes from God. But these morons, these fools who reject God, and by the way, they are fools according to the Bible in Romans chapter 1, says that their foolish heart was darkened. They're idiots. They're morons. Well, I go through in this article and explain how moronic their worldview truly is and how they can't explain why there is an objective morality. Over here, I give you a more detailed review of the Going Back to the Greek documentary, which I talked about on this podcast. And over here in the top left of the website, you'll see an article entitled The Biblical Response to Violent Crime, where basically I'll go through and show you what the Bible says we should do in response to the violent crime rate, not only in my city, but across the world. And so you got that. Here we have the tab that'll drop down. There's a drop-down menu with some of the articles that I'll be writing pertaining to Bible prophecy, the culture war. And now the culture war is basically things like feminism and the attack on the nuclear family, etc., in case you're wondering. I'll be honest, I stole that from InfoWars. They have a segment of their website that says culture war. I'm not sure if it's still that way, but anyway, I didn't come up with that. Bible doctrine, of course. Christian living, articles on Christian living will go there. Articles on current events will go there. Politics, things like that. Obviously, I'm not a political guy anymore, excuse me, but if there is something worth talking about in the political world, or, you know, with regard to globalism and the New World Order and Zionism, it'll go there. And soul winning tips, soul winning testimonies, I'll put there. There's an about page, the live podcast, archive of Sword of the Spirit, which is this show, and the Preacher Profile series, which, by the way, is not defunct. I'll bring that back eventually, and you can find every episode there. A link to the new IFB website, a contact, link to my YouTube, link to my Facebook. This is the top menu. The Bible Way to Heaven, I'm going to make my own and put it there. And then a church directory. This links to the new IFB website, where you can get a directory of every single church in the movement in case you are curious about that. And then also all of the social media accounts associated with those churches. So that's BenTheBaptistKJV.com. On the sidebar, you've got my Facebook that you can like, the latest edition of the Sword of the Spirit podcast, the latest edition of the Preacher Profile, and a King James Bible verse of the week. And the one I chose for this week is 2 Chronicles 19:2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." You can put that in your "God says you should love everyone" pipe and smoke it. I'm sure that triggers the lefty, effeminate, little softy Christians out there who can't stand what the Bible says because they're not right with God. And folks, that is BenTheBaptistKJV.com. You probably saw the link to the website in the intro there and wondered, what's that all about? Well, now you know. My official website, BenTheBaptistKJV.com. Check it out every day. I can't promise it'll be updated every single day, but I will update it regularly with blog posts, and also you will find the latest editions of the Sword of the Spirit podcast and Preacher Profile on there as well. So check it out. Comment on the articles. Get involved in the discussion. That's what it's all about. I'm sick of the fact that if you Google a Bible doctrine, you get a bunch of false heresy everywhere. It permeates the whole internet. Other than Jesus is Savior, I can't really find anything half decent. And so I'm throwing my name in the hat, and I'll be putting some articles which will hopefully try and curb that problem, alleviate that problem a little bit, and make it so that if people do research, hey, what is the gospel? They don't see some repent of your sins trash that's going to send them straight to hell, but instead they see the biblical gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Titus chapter number 3. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his righteousness he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I love what the Bible says about this particular subject, because the works have already been done by Jesus Christ, and it's time more people knew that and understood that. That's the very reason why I wanted to get that website up and running, and also fight back against the propaganda and indoctrination of the globalist elites and their puppets in Hollywood and the TV industry and radio and all the rest of it. So I appreciate the folks in the chat room for your feedback on BenTheBaptistKJV.com. Heath Hendricks says, take the fight to these God haters. Isn't that what we're supposed to do, folks? And I know my voice is hoarse, and I know that I probably sound like death right now, but you know what? That shouldn't stop me, and it shouldn't stop anyone else from having a very real zeal. And we need to say to the people who just don't understand why we care so much, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord, and maybe you'll understand why we get so pumped up, why we get so excited about the things of God, and why when you go to one of our churches, you hear people talking about the Bible. They don't just leave the church the second the service is over to catch the best deal they can at the local buffet. No, they talk Bible because they love the Lord. All right, folks, that's going to do it, I think, for this edition of the podcast. I really appreciate you guys tuning in to the show. Hopefully the kinks were worked out a little bit better this time, and as the weeks progress there'll be less technical issues. We can only pray. That's it for the show. This is Ben the Baptist signing off. I love you all, and thank you for tuning in. I don't love you if you're a heretic, false prophet, though, a reprobate. Then I hope you just go straight to hell. I'll be back again Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern. Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern. Every single week, tune in. Don't miss the show. Until next time, God bless. I'll talk to you guys again after a while.